Welcome to Saturday, and welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is September the 16th, day 259 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we're about to do what we do every day. We're going to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to let God's Word spend some time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. 7 days a week, I need this, my friend. I need to apply His Word, His Gospel, to my heart. And we're going to do that today in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 41, Psalm 128, and then we finish our reading in Revelation chapter 21. What do you say we just jump right in here? Ezekiel chapter 40. We're reading through the New Living Translation. On April 28th, during the 25th year of our captivity, 14 years after the fall of Jerusalem, the Lord took hold of me. In a vision from God, He took me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain. From there I could see toward the south what appeared to be a city. As He brought me near, I saw a man whose face shone like bronze, standing beside a gateway entrance. He was holding in his hand a linen measuring cord and a measuring rod. He said to me, "Son of man, watch and listen. Pay close attention to everything I show you. You have been brought here so I can show you many things. Then you will return to the people of Israel and tell them everything you have seen." I could see a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The man took a measuring rod that was 10.5 feet long and measured the wall. And the wall was 10.5 feet thick and 10.5 feet high. Then he went over to the eastern gateway. He climbed the steps and measured the threshold of the gateway. It was 10.5 feet front to back. There were guard alcoves on each side built into the gateway passage. Each of these alcoves was 10.5 feet square with a distance between them of 8.75 feet along the passage wall. The gateway's inner threshold, which led to the entry room at the inner end of the gateway passage, was 10.5 feet front to back. He also measured the entry room of the gateway. It was 14 feet across, with supporting columns 3.5 feet thick. This entry room was at the inner end of the gateway structure, facing toward the temple. There were 3 guard alcoves on each side of the gateway entrance. Each had the same measurements, and the dividing walls separating them were also identical. The man measured the gateway entrance, which was 17.5 feet wide at the opening and 22.75 feet wide in the gateway passage. In front of each of the guard alcoves was a 21-inch curb. The alcoves themselves were 10.5 feet on each side. Then he measured the entire width of the gateway, measuring the distance between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. This distance was 43.75 feet. He measured the dividing walls all along the inside of the gateway up to the entry room of the gateway. This distance was 105 feet. The full length of the gateway passage was 87.5 feet from one end to the other. There were recessed windows that narrowed inward through the wall of the guard alcoves and their dividing walls. There were also windows in the entry room. The surfaces of the dividing walls were decorated with carved palm trees. Then the man brought me through the gateway into the outer courtyard of the temple. A stone pavement ran along the walls of the courtyard, and 30 rooms were built against the walls, opening onto the pavement. This pavement flanked the gates and extended out from the walls into the courtyard, the same distance as the gateway entrance. This was the lower pavement. Then the man measured across the temple's outer courtyard between the outer and inner gateways. The distance was 175 feet. The man measured the gateway on the north, just like the one on the east. Here, too, there were 3 guard alcoves on each side with dividing walls and an entry room. All the measurements matched those of the east gateway. The gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet between the back walls of the facing guard alcoves. The windows, the entry room, and the palm tree decorations were identical to those in the east gateway. There were 7 steps leading up to the gateway entrance, and the entry room was at the inner end of the gateway passage. Here on the north side, just as on the east, there was another gateway leading to the temple's inner courtyard directly opposite this outer gateway. The distance between the 2 gateways was 175 feet. Then the man took me around to the south gateway and measured its various parts, and they were exactly the same as in the others. It had windows along the walls, as the others did, and there was an entry room with the gateway passage opened into the outer courtyard. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide between the back walls of the facing guard alcoves. This gateway also had a stairway of 7 steps leading up to it and an entry room in the inner end and the palm tree decorations along the dividing walls. And here again, directly opposite the outer gateway was another gateway that led into the inner courtyard. The distance between the two gateways was 175 feet. Then the man took me to the south gateway leading into the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls, and entry room were the same size as those in the others. It also had windows along the walls and in the entry room. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. The entry rooms of the gateway leading into the inner courtyard were 14 feet across and 43.75 feet wide. The entry room to the south gateway faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me to the east gateway, leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls, and entry room were the same size as those of the others, and there were windows along the walls and in the entry room. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its entry room faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me around to the north gateway leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. The guard alcoves, dividing walls, and entry room of this gateway had the same measurements as in the others, and the same window arrangements. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its entry room faced into the outer courtyard, and it had palm tree decorations on the columns. There were 8 steps leading to its entrance. A door led from the entry room of one of the inner gateways into a side room, where the meat for the sacrifice was washed. On each side of this entry room were 2 tables where the sacrificial animals were slaughtered for the burnt offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. Outside the entry room, on each side of the stairs going up to the north entrance, were 2 more tables. So there were 8 tables in all, 4 inside and 4 outside, where the sacrifices were cut up and prepared. There were also 4 tables of finished stone for preparation of the burnt offerings, each 31.5 inches square, and 21 inches high. On these tables were placed the butchering knives and other implements for slaughtering the sacrificial animals. There were hooks, each 3 inches long, fastened all around the foyer walls. The sacrificial meat was laid on the tables. Inside the inner courtyard were 2 rooms, one beside the north gateway facing south, and the other beside the south gateway facing north. And the man said to me, "The room beside the north inner gate is for the priests who supervise the temple maintenance. The room beside the south inner gate is for the priest in charge of the altar, the descendants of Zadok. For they alone of all the Levites may approach the Lord to minister to him." Then the man measured the inner courtyard, and it was square, 175 feet wide and 175 feet across. The altar stood in the courtyard in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the entry room of the temple. He measured the walls on either side of the opening to the entry room, and they were 8.75 feet thick. The entrance itself was 24.5 feet wide, and the walls on each side of the entrance were an additional 5.25 feet long. The entry room was 35 feet wide and 21 feet deep. There were 10 steps leading up to it, with a column on each side. Ezekiel 41. After that, the man brought me into the sanctuary of the temple. He measured the walls on either side of its doorway, and they were 10.5 feet thick. The doorway was 17.5 feet wide, and the walls on each side of it were 8.75 feet long. The sanctuary itself was 70 feet long and 35 feet wide. Then he went beyond the sanctuary into the inner room. He measured the walls on either side of the entrance, and they were 3.5 feet thick. The entrance was 10.5 feet wide, and the walls on each side of the entrance were 12.25 feet long. The inner room of the sanctuary was 35 feet long and 35 feet wide. This, he told me, is the most holy place. Then he measured the wall of the temple, and it was 10.5 feet thick. There was a row of rooms along the outside wall. Each room was 7 feet wide. These side rooms were built in 3 levels, one above the other, with 30 rooms on each level. The supports for these side rooms rested on the exterior ledges on the temple wall. They did not extend into the wall. Each level was wider than the one below it, corresponding to the narrowing of the temple wall as it rose higher. A stairway led up from the bottom level through the middle level to the top level. I saw that the temple was built on a terrace, which provided a foundation for the side rooms. This terrace was 10.5 feet high. The outer wall of the temple's side rooms was 8.75 feet thick. This left an open area between these side rooms, and the rows of rooms along the outer wall of the inner courtyard. This open area was 35 feet wide, and it went all the way around the temple. 2 doors opened from the side rooms into the terrace yard, which was 8.75 feet wide. 1 door faced north and the other south. A large building stood on the west facing the temple courtyard. It was 122.5 feet wide and 157.5 feet long, and its walls were 8.75 feet thick. Then the man measured the temple, and it was 175 feet long. The courtyard around the building, including its walls, was an additional 175 feet in length. The inner courtyard to the east of the temple was also 175 feet wide. The building to the west, including its 2 walls, was also 175 feet wide. The sanctuary, the inner room, and the entry room of the temple were all paneled with wood, as were the frames of the recessed windows. The inner walls of the temple were paneled with wood, above and below the windows. The space above the door, leading into the inner room and its walls inside and out, were also paneled. All the walls were decorated with carvings of cherubim, each with 2 faces, and there was a carving of a palm tree between each of the cherubim. One face, that of a man, looked toward the palm tree on one side. The other face, that of a young lion, looked toward the palm tree on the other side. The figures were carved all along the inside of the temple, from the floor to the top of the walls, including the outer wall of the sanctuary. There were square columns at the entrance to the sanctuary, and the ones at the entrance of the most holy place were similar. There was an altar made of wood, 5.25 feet high and 3.5 feet across. Its corners, base, and sides were all made of wood. This, the man told me, is the table that stands in the Lord's presence. Both the sanctuary and the most holy place had double doorways, each with 2 swinging doors. The doors leading into the sanctuary were decorated with carved cherubim and palm trees, just as on the walls. And there was a wooden roof at the front of the entry room of the temple. On both sides of the entry room were recessed windows decorated with carved palm trees. The side rooms along the outside wall also had roofs. Psalm 128, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. How joyful are those who fear the Lord! All who follow His ways, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous will you be! Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, Come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophis, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl, and the main entrance was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now may the Lamb, the one who is the light of this city, the one who is the light of our life, may he give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. This story ends, it's dissolving into light. This story of sacrifice is no more. This whole story was built around an altar where sacrifices were made. The temple, the most holy place, this was the place of atonement. This is where the story of atonement was told. This was the place where God built a bridge between heaven and earth. This is the place that Ezekiel sees measured out in such exacting detail. It's a story that's going to go exactly as God intends. But now in John's vision, this portal is no more. This story is ending. John says in verse 22 that I saw no more temple in the city. The epicenter of the story is gone. Even the sun and the moon are gone. These instruments of time, John says, they are no more. History as we know it is gone. The story of God's unfailing love is concluding. And the title of this book is The Lamb's Book of Life. The temple is no more, and the story of rebellion and darkness, suffering and death, it is no more. The story that we've seen in the temple, in Israel, and in us, in the sacrifices, they were always and only pointing to Him, pointing us to the Lamb, to our Jesus. The story of the temple is no more. This history and time is no more. The story of my rebellion and darkness and suffering and death, they are no more. Jesus has eclipsed it all. They have all dissolved into Him. John says, I saw no temple in this city, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and this city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. He is the light, and all the stories are dissolved into His light. And what remains is life, the Lamb's book of life. And this story has only just begun. There's more to come. And it's about Him, and it's about life. And the prayer of my heart today is that I will let the Son of God's love dissolve my story into His, so that I too might have life, even right now, even today. And that's a prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife and my daughters and my son. And that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, it's always great to hear from you, always great to find out a little bit about you. So next time you got a moment, take it, let a brother know. Hey, have I told you how much I appreciate you? I really do. I really appreciate the partnership that I have in this ministry with you. I really do sense that I'm on a journey together with God's people through the Word, and that we're sharing something really special here. So thanks for being a part of that. Thanks for being a part of my life. You know, you can share that life not only with me, but with others too, simply by sharing this app. You can pass on this journey that we're on. There are people out there that are hungry for the Word of God, and we're all about coming alongside those that are hungry and offering them daily bread. So consider that. You play a huge role in that. You can reach people that I never can. So share the app, and let's see what happens. But hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.